One. Ram Radio, the webcast, the biblical alternative. It's May the 7th, 2009. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." In a world of professing Christians, and isn't America full of them? The truest believer must classify themselves as those who are justified in righteousness by their position in Christ. This divine absolutism must be affirmed by the standard of the Word of God alone. Into the Word Ram Radio, the biblical alternative speaks to these particular absolutes. Into the Word, as any other true Christian ministry, must always look at God's Word as the highest standard that directs our lives. Guys, reading me yet? Are you understanding me? Are you feeling me? We cannot attempt to minister to others unless we define who we are by what we believe as we stay into the Word. So why is it so difficult for us to follow this biblical mandate? I'm your radio host here in Los Angeles, California, Pastor John Coleman. Thank you for being my guest for the next few moments as I bring to you Ram Radio, the webcast. Well, I like that music. Listen to those drums. Yeah. Don't you love it? Turn your speakers up. Come on. Get up and do the Ram Radio dance. It's called the Bulldog. Hi, this is Pastor John, and thank you for joining me. I'm glad that you can join me tonight. We're going to have a nice time. Mark Ramsey's not here. Bob Klink is not here. It's early in the afternoon in the studio. And play it again. You know, I've been getting a couple of emails from Bob Johnson, my little friend Bob Johnson again. Bob Johnson, my goodness. You know, let me tell you something about Christians, friends. I'm going to tell you. You know, Christians amaze me. They have their own agendas, and they want you, for some strange reason, to agree with their agenda. And you know me. I'm not agreeing with you because you want me to agree with you. I'm agreeing with you because you got some facts behind it. Now, let me raise this premise here. Because you guys know I got certain friends. Jim Burchard in Texas is my friend. I don't agree with everything that he teaches. I don't think that he agrees with everything that I teach. Is Jim Burchard a good man? As far as I can see, I think he is. Another friend of mine is Dean Gocher. What do I know about Dean? Well enough that he and his wife are going all over the country trying to share with other homespun Christians the truth about the dialectic and the dangers of the dialectic in the church. And he uses the Bible as a chief frame of reference. Now, let me say this right now. I don't know who Dean has met in the past. I don't know who he's had lunch, dinner, or breakfast with. I don't know whom he has met. In a meeting, and quiet as kept, I don't care. Bob, if you're listening in, I want to put emphasis on that. I don't care. Bob, if you care, then do something about it. But leave me alone. I don't care who Dean has spoken with or met. I also know John MacArthur. I've met him on a personal basis. Been in his office, sat right across the desk from him. There is something that I do know about him personally, from having sat across his desk, but I'm not going to share that with you. because it just becomes my opinion, has nothing to do with up or down about him. It's my right to hold this information and this particular opinion. I do not agree that everything that John MacArthur says. I do not agree with everything that you that are listening to me is saying, if you've ever said anything. Now, see, I'm trying to start off this webcast by ticking you off. I want to tick you off. I want you to become my enemy, and so that you can say, well, who do you like? I like me. I think I'm a pretty swift and cool guy. I was in the barbershop today getting a touch-up, and a young barber came up to me, and I won't tell you what he said because you may not like what he said, and you may not like the way I responded. But he said something, and I responded in like way with him in an affirmative, positive thing. And he said, you know, that's what I like about you, Pastor John. He says, you are so real. He said, if I had said that to any other pastor, they would have begun to preach to me. I just looked at him and said, what? I said, do you know how many pastors I know that are doing worse than you just suggested? And I said, I'm legally at an age where I can, well, you know, what the person did is he was telling me about the benefits of marijuana. And I was telling him that I'm legally at an age where I can get medical marijuana to take it for the deep depressions that I go through from time to time. And we kind of both laughed about that. And I said, see, the grass is illegal. I said, but there was a time when alcohol was legal in this country. Some Christians think that alcohol is still illegal. I don't know where they get that from. And the Bible doesn't say it. I was trained and taught as I came up as a Baptist, as a Southern Baptist, that no Christian should ever drink alcoholic beverage. And I taught that adamantly throughout the years in ministry that I taught. Well, I was wrong. I was wrong. Who pointed it out to me? Through my in-depth study, my prayer, my going to God about everything. See, I don't go to people. Because, my friends, when you go to people, you're going to come up with people's opinions, just like I was giving mine. At least I'm man enough to admit that I was wrong. Now, I think that alcoholism is wrong. I think that any Christian that takes a drink and gets drunk and does something horrible, like runs a red light and runs over somebody, should be killed in the electric chair. You may think I'm wrong for that. I'm not totally utilitarian. No, I'm not. I believe in the survival of the meanest, not the fittest, but the meanest. You kill somebody, then somebody needs to kill you. You as a Christian may not agree with me. Here again, I'm trying to help you out as a Christian. What difference does it make? Why? Why are we having a conversation? It's not worth a waste of time. So, let me share this again with you, Bob. You may to accuse me of being a coward and not attacking the white boys, that I only attack the black ones, is a blow below the waist. I mean, this is from one Christian to another Christian. Can you believe that? Most of you don't know this Bob Johnson I'm talking about. I hope he doesn't continue to use almost a copycat of my email. My email address is intotheword1@AOL.com. At times he uses intotheword2@AOL.com. Don't get confused if you ever get an email from him about me. People are going to talk about me. Go ahead, talk about me. Talk about my mama, my daddy, my family, my blackness, everything. Don't make me know, never mind, because that ain't God. That doesn't frighten me. This is what frightens me, Christian, and I want you to think with me a little bit. Even though some of you think that I'm a little stretched, I want to thank Leonard. You contacted me. We had a great time over the phone talking this morning, earlier in the day. Leonard didn't agree with everything that I said, and I sure enough didn't agree with everything that he was saying. I still love Leonard as I love a little brother of mine, and I don't give too much information over the phone when people call, because I don't know what they're asking for the information for. Is that wise to do, especially now when almost anyone can be identified as a terrorist? Oh, please don't read me wrong. I'm not a terrorist, but I'm not going to make waves, and so the government can look my way and accuse me of being one. Because when the government accuses you of being a terrorist, they're going to treat you like one. And with this Home Security Act that they have now, Homeland Security, you have no rights. You have absolutely no rights at all. So I'm not going to spurt off my mouth and say something to make someone else feel good about me saying something, because they won't say anything. I want to see them say it. If this is the way this works, I'm talking to Bob, I'm talking to any of you that kind of like want to go this way. You know it's a webcast because you hear the ice cream truck. You're in L.A. This is the way this works. If God is so moved upon your heart to do something, and I've done something, that's why I put the Fred Price, Jack Hayford thing up. I got another one that I'm going to put up on P.K. McCary. I got another series that I'm going to put up, Lord willing, on discipleship. I have all these things that I can put up there. And why? All these things will be put up to show you one thing. This is what you ought to be doing in the spectrum that you're living in. Don't team up with me. Now, let me tell you why I don't want you to team up with me. One of my revered students, meaning this young man, took classes with me. Took over 3 years of seminary classes with me. I guess you can say he has a bachelor's or an equivalent to a master's in theology from taking classes with me. He is one of the very few students that I've taught over the years that still comes by to visit me. A few of them do, but this one is consistent with it. Consistent in explaining to me how much he loves me, because he sees perfectly clear through all the years that I've lived in ministry what people are that are a part of the institutionalized Christian church. Now, you may, because you see, some of the friction has been in the past few months. Well, me and my family are looking for a Bible church to attend. But every time you go to attend a Bible church, you find that there's something wrong there, that either the church or the leader of that church, that somebody has compromised something. And you end up going from thither to thither to hither to there and to from this post to that post. And you look like a dog trying to take a piss, and you don't exactly know where to release your fluid at. Then what you finally do is you finally give in, toss in all the cards, and go to something that you know you don't believe in. But you do that because you've compromised yourself, because you got family. And Leonard, I'm not talking to you. You just prompted the idea, because I do want to address that. Because I was asked the question by a good brother, what do you do when your family wants to be a part of the Sunday school program? When the family is not as adamant about you are about attending those churches, they need the fellowship of other Christians, and the pressure's coming. Pressure may be coming from the wife, or the pressure may be coming from the children. Wait a minute. Children may say, Daddy, you don't want us to join gangs. You don't want us to get with the heathens out there. And now you're telling us that we can't even get with the Christian kids at the church. Now, the inevitable question is, what is a man to do with his children? Is he to raise his children like they're in a concentration camp? Is his life to be that daddy is a Bible answer man, and any kind of operatives out of that would make you at odds with daddy? All right. Now, with that question hanging up there, because the question should hang there, I'm going to raise another point. I want to thank you, Cassie and Beverly, for sending me some clips about the church called The Rock in San Diego. Just going through the pages on the website, not even listening to the guy preach or listening to what he's talking about, it's a farce. The Rock Church is not a Christian church. You know what The Rock Church is in San Diego County down there? It's fun time. It's fun time. It's Disneyland with a Jesus face painted on it. The pastor, who's a black guy who walks around with the tail of his shirt untucked, making silly little sounds in the pulpit area just to get a giggle up. Man, you know what? You need to tell those people, unless you repent of your sin, you're going to die in it and bust hell wide open. That room would not be sitting there with the circus smiling faces as it is. And, the inevitable question is, Bev, I got to answer you. Dear Christian sister, the Miss America lady that came in second place giving her testimony, and then a member of that church, well, no wonder she took her dress off and showed her boobs all over the situation, because she thinks that as a Christian you can do that too and be justified. The Rock. I mean, hold up. I'm getting another call in. Oh, the joy of electronics. Young man from the college wants to come by. He says, my life is falling apart, Pastor. Can I come and see you? Sure, come on here. I said, I'm right here, man. Come on by. Now, would your pastor do that? But anyhow, let me leave that alone. Let me leave. Wait a minute. Quiet as kept, would you do that? Let me leave that alone, too. Let me leave that alone, because I don't want to throw no sticks at anybody. PJ, that's your problem. You always asking questions just because, what are you? How come don't no women call and ask, can they come by? Because I'd be suspect. That's why. Don't play me. Well, you always got these young men coming by. Did you know I was in the barbershop today? And the barber that was speaking to me about the marijuana thing, marijuana quibble, said to me, he told me that he was married for 9 years and that he divorced her. And I said, why? And he began to proceed to tell me something, ladies and gentlemen, that shocked me. That literally shocked me. He proceeded to tell me how women have systematically devised a plan. And I dare say that these can't be Christian women. They can't be Christian women. I wouldn't even think about being with a woman that was not proven totally godly. But he says that if they even argue with them, raise their voices up loud, and the woman doesn't like the conversation, that she can call the police, and the police, without even hearing anything, would arrest him. This is in the black community. And all the men in the barbershop affirmed this. And you know what, friends? I'm going to tell you something. As I was speaking with these people, it was like I was a dude from outer space talking with somebody from a different planet. And I almost started to cry. I just wanted to cry. I was so sad at what I was hearing. Now, let me share this with you. Our society is messed up. Our world is messed up. Our young people are messed up. Our old people are messed up. I'm not messed up. I want to share this with you. I want to admonish you people to start believing in the word of God only for you. When that young man from the college comes over here, I'm going to say, son, this is what you got to do. You read the Bible and believe it for yourself. See, he's trying to pull his family over into this. No, that's some evangelical mess that they've taught you in the evangelical church, that you're responsible for the salvation of your whole family. No, you're not. If God called you and didn't call them, because I have to set him down and show him something on the call of God. I'll take him right here in the studio into my Calvinistic notes. And I said, I want you to look at that and tell me what you see. And I want you to think, why are you trying to do anything when God is the one that does it? If your family doesn't hear and respond to the word, they're lost. They're going to end up in hell for an eternity. Why are you feeling bad about that? You're not going there. Now, you may think that's not right. Well, then you continuously try to win a dead man to life. You can't. I remember I had a young man in my fellowship, and he was professing to be a Christian, and he was living in some real deep sin. And I begged him to stop. I said, man, you need to stop. You need to stop this. Oh, that's just the way it is with men. I said, no, it's not. I said, I'd like it to be that way with me. But no, I can't. And that young man has been stricken with an illness now that he'll never recover. And it had, and in my conversation with him, bless his sweet little heart. He is a sweetheart Christian right now. He is the humblest Christian that you ever want to meet. Because when God gets through touching you, now let me share with you something. We'll call this the reason that I'm putting this webcast together. One of my students came by to speak with me, and he asked me if I knew who the pastor of the Living by the Word Bible Church was. That was the church that I pastored. That after the great coup d'etat of Charlton Davis and the other so-called two other pastors, I was ousted from the pastorate because I knew too much or something. I think they told me that you're too smart and we don't know where that comes from. Well, I tell you right now, the 20 years of going to night school, you got to get something if you're not a complete imbecile. But anyhow, I don't even know why I'd share that with anybody, because most people don't put a premium on education. They put it on ignorance, and I shall never do that. Some of my biggest